What does grow us in the body of Christ mean to you? So I'm asking you to give me your thoughts on that this morning before we begin looking into this subject matter. Amen. What does grow us in the body of Christ mean? I have a lot of time this morning. I'm not in a rush. I can wait if you want to collect your thoughts. But it's good for us to voice at least where we are in our mind. And then we can see how Scripture relates to what our thoughts are. And then we can either continue in the way we go or change our thoughts to match what the Word of God says. And praise the Lord. When I think about that, growing us in the body, as co-pastor of Heritage, I think about us as a church. And I've looked at us and I thought about us in the form, because we are a young church. We are actually close to 6 years, coming up on 6 years. I thought my math was wrong. But we're really like a toddler. And when Pastor Perry and I took over and began to be the shepherds of this church, it was like we were premature, if I could use that for instance. So we, although we're called to do this, we were brought in on a moment's notice. And I see us as a young, like an infant toddler stage in growth. And why do I say that? Because it takes years to grow a church. You can't, I mean, in the Old Testament, the church grew by thousands in a day. We don't see that in this day and time. But the word back then had to go forth because it had to reach people across the planet. And thousands, 5,000 say, at a time, who believed this gospel. Now, we have received this gospel, but as a church, we are a young church. And we're a young church trying to establish the things and put in place the things that we need in order to grow. And not just grow in the body of Christ, but grow in the spirit, grow in the natural, and grow in the body of Christ. It's all connected. We can't grow in the body of Christ without being growing in the spirit. Because as Mother Linda said, some of you said, love is a part of us growing. We can't grow without having a love for God first, because that's how you discover what love really is. When you understand what love did on the cross, how God loved us so that he gave his only son, how his only son just came as he was sent to do the will of God. All these things are connected to us. And we couldn't understand love until we really understand God's love. Mm-hmm. And when you understand what God has done in order to have a relationship with each and every one of us, it helps us to love others, or should help us to love others in the same manner. The love that we receive from God is the love that we should show to others who And growing us in the Spirit is to help us to be one led by the Spirit, to conduct God's business by the Spirit, and to do all things according to the Spirit, that God would be pleased with the service that we have. When you think about, when I think about the body of Christ, I think about trying to establish something as it relates to Jesus Christ, God's Son. I think also about the body, and we know the body has many parts. And we have to be complete as a body, not working independent. So that means we have to be unified. We can't have one thing here, and expect to function as a single body. We have many members. The body has many members. But the body can't function independently of its own. It will not work. I think as a church, we need to reflect the purpose of Christ. When Christ walked the earth, he had an intent. And his intent was to do the will of the Father who sent him. And he had a message for his people. And he wanted his people to see that God was behind everything that he did. He ministered the word of God. He did signs, miracles, and wonders that the people would know that he was sent by God to be the savior of the world. And all they needed to do was believe on him who God sent. So we have to reflect that same purpose. That same purpose that Christ had by telling people about Jesus Christ, God's Son, who came. That has to be a primary part of our teaching and preaching, because that's the gospel. That's what brings salvation to those who are lost. Amen? We have to want more to do the will of God than our own will. We have to lay our will down, just like Christ laid his will down, in order that we can move and accomplish the things that he wants his body, because we are his body. The Bible tells us our bodies are not our own, but we were purchased with a price. So we are his body. And when we establish and reflect the purpose of Christ coming here, we begin to look like Christ. Because we're mirroring what we saw Christ do, who had instructions from God to do things a certain way, that he did not do his own will, but he did the will of the Father who sent him. He said, I don't do anything that I have not seen my Father do. So what does that tell us? As a body, we should not do anything that we have not seen Jesus or the Father do. We as a body, if we're going to call ourselves the body of Christ, we have to have the same will that Christ had. He came to seek and to save that which is lost. Christ, that was Christ's desire, to seek and to save God's people. Because God desires more than anything is to have a relationship with his creation. We can't be a part of the body if we don't want that same, don't want to have that same will. It's critical for us to want to emulate Christ as best as we can in everything that we do, that when people come in, they will see who we are. Because right now people look at us and how we present ourselves, not just in here in the Spirit, but but in the natural when we go out the door. We represent Christ 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, until he comes. So we have to present ourselves in such a manner that people, and oftentimes people do know the kind of person you are. They know that you're godly. They know something about you is different. They see how you have been among co-workers, and they come to you. And some may ask you for prayer, or some may say, I recognize something in you that I don't, you know, that I don't see in, you know, everybody else. But that's presenting ourselves like Jesus would present himself. When Jesus would go out among the sinners, which he needed to do, how else would he save them if he wasn't going out among them? But going out among them does not mean becoming one of them. It means that when we go out in the natural to our places to do whatever God has assigned us to do in our lives, to live out our purpose among people in the earth, we have a responsibility, one, to do whatever we have been assigned to do in the earth, but also to represent the one who sent me. The Bible says that we are ambassadors. That means we represent someone from another land, another kingdom, and we need, as ambassadors, to represent Jesus well. Speaking of the body of Christ, we also have to be, have to show that we are unified. If you remember in John chapter 17, Jesus was praying, he says, he wished that his disciples was united like we, the Son and the Father and the Spirit. I wish they would be one like we are one. So what should we do? As a body of Christ, desire to be one. Jesus desired it for us. He says it openly. And it's important for us to be united as one. It's important for us as a body of believers, Christ believers, to be unified. I guess lastly, we have to have the same agenda as Christ had. We have to want the same thing. His agenda should be our agenda. So when it comes to the body of Christ, that means that we can't do what we want to do. It might be you're doing something you want to do, but it's because you're lining up with what he wants us to do. And when I say we can't do what we want to do, we can't be independent. So what does this mean? To be in the body of Christ, we must first learn how to be Christ-like. We must first look at his life and emulate those things. And that's what we're going to begin to look at. What does it really mean to be Christ-like? Because if we're not Christ-like, we can't be in the body of Christ. We want to learn how to reflect the behavior and will of Jesus, that people would see even more on our jobs, more in our schools, more wherever we may be, that this person, something is about this person. And that's a magnet. And then we have to learn how the body of Christ functions. When we begin to look at the body of Christ itself, the different members, the different parts of the body, and how it moves, how it functions. Then we can think about growing, because we should want the same things. The Bible tells us that a person first has to hear. No one can change if they don't know what they're doing is wrong, and no one can change if they haven't come to the realization that they have to want to change. They have to look at themselves and say, I don't like this part about me. And until you can come to grips with really who you are as a person, and that's what the gospel is designed to do, is to draw that person out to see himself in a mirror, like God sees him. But yet God loves that person enough that he gave a remedy for that person to change the reflection of what he sees to something different. That's the gospel. So when you preach the gospel in that capacity, people's lives change. That's what this is all about. If we can do some of the things to help us to grow in the spirit, in the natural, in the body of Christ, our work will become easier ministering when we go out there.